The Lord. That praise and worship has done messed me up for the good. Huh? Thank you, Will.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for praise and worship today. It was awesome. Awesome. Amen. Hallelujah. Done messed me up for the good. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for your word that's already settled. Hallelujah. We're going to continue our message today on Psalms 23. Hopefully, I'm going to try to preach on four words again today. Five words. Yeah, a little bit more. So we're just going to read it again. Psalms chapter 23, verse 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. When I read that, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, he's got you back covered. Amen. So you just keep walking and not look back. He's got you covered. So like I said last week, when studying the Word, I have found out instead of studying it chapter by chapter and verse by verse, study it word by word. And that's one thing the pastor's doing on Wednesday night. And if you haven't been coming, I encourage you to come if you can, because he is taking the Word and literally going word by word, so to speak, and bringing so much good stuff out. So I encourage you to come and be part of that on Wednesday night. So when studying the Scripture, look at it word for word, because every word is a seed waiting to be planted in the womb of your spirit to birth the promises of God. Amen. Every word of the Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so when we begin to look at that and begin to look at that particular word, there's so much truth in that word, so much promise. Amen. So when reading the Psalms, we can understand that David wrote it from experience. That having lived life, he wrote it from experience. And we talked about one of the experiences David had last week with Goliath. You know, he was trusting in the I am that I am. And so he wrote this scripture as an older, wiser king, looking back and recalling God's goodness and God's protection over his life. And we talked about how David was a man after his own heart, even through all the military battles he won and the failures and everything in life and all of his depression and being down, he always turned his face back to God. Amen. He always turned his heart back to God. And so that's why he was a man. That's why he was a person after God's own heart. So he experienced of being, he wrote it out of the experience of being a shepherd. But also he got into this chapter 23 of Psalms talking about the shepherd. Amen? The shepherd. And last week I mentioned how that a lot of people can't relate to them when you talk about Father God, because they've not had a good relationship with a father. There may not have been a father in the picture. There could have been a father that was abusive or whatever. But you can't talk to people about a shepherd. Amen, of what a shepherd is and how they can relate to a shepherd. So Jesus, when teaching the crowds, we can go back to the New Testament, and when Jesus was teaching the crowds of people, he used many illustrations around him to bring out a truth. He used what was there and said, you know, this is what I want to teach you today. And so his lessons concern the characteristics of his followers. He could have chosen any of the animals that was around then. You know, I'm glad he didn't choose a cow, to use an example. Amen. But it's interesting that he did not choose the camels, the chickens, or the horses, or those things like that, the animals that were around. But he chose sheep. Sheep. That just kind of rolls off your tongue, don't it? He chose sheep to illustrate, to use that as characteristics of how his people were and how people were. And in many scriptures refers to this. In John 10:14, he says, I know my sheep. My sheep know me. 10:11, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. In Matthew 10, he spoke about a man who had 100 sheep. And then we can go on and talks about if one of them strays, he leaves the 99 on the hillside and goes finds the one that strayed. And he finds it. He delights over it and over just that one sheep that's going astray. And this shows us that sheep are very special animals. Amen. So when we look at the characteristics of a sheep, we can see some of that characteristics in us as people. So in the same way that that Father God wants us wants no little one to become lost, he feels the same way about all of us. And he will go out looking for that one that's gone astray. Matthew 18 says, never despise one of these little ones. So Jesus went into the towns and villages and teaching in the synagogues and on the hillside and by the lakes and the good news of the kingdom. And so he related to sheep because that was something that people could relate to. So he must have noticed the characteristics between the mind of the sheep and the people he ministered to. So he not only did he notice the mindset of the people compared to the sheep, but he knew the people. He knew people of what it took to be a shepherd over a flock of sheep, because he said, he is my shepherd. David said, Yahweh is my shepherd. And this was an image that the children of Israel, that the Israelites could relate to, because many of them were shepherds. So when he talked about sheep, they could relate to what he was saying because many of them were shepherds in that time. So they knew what it meant to go out in front. They knew what it meant to lead. They knew what it meant to take care of sheep. They knew the one, if one had to decide which path to take, they knew how to lead them. And they knew from being a shepherd the responsibility that the shepherd had to watch over the sheep and to protect them. And so it didn't take much for the people to connect with what his teachings were saying and what he was saying about the sheep. So when he's talking about sheep and his teachings to the people. So David, writing in the 23rd Psalms, wrote from the perspective of knowing what it was like to be a shepherd and his reliance on the shepherd. The word shepherd simply means to guide or direct in a particular direction. The Lord Yahweh is my shepherd who guides me, directs me in life. The Amplified Bible says that the Lord is my shepherd to feed, to guide, and to shield me. And it goes on to say, I shall not want because of the one who is my shepherd. So I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, and because of that, I shall not want. And that is a prayer. The Lord is, that's a present term. That is a present word, meaning right now. The Lord is my, not going to be, but is my, the present tense of a shepherd that leads and guides me in the direction that he desires for me to go. Psalm says, God is a refuge and strength, mighty and impenetrable, a very present and well-proved help in trouble. The Lord is my God. Psalms 32:8 says, I will instruct you, and I will teach you in the way which you shall go. I will guide you with my eye. And another translation, I think it was in the Passion Bible, says, I hear the Lord saying, I will stay close to you, instructing you and guiding you along the pathway for your life. He said, I will advise you along the way and lead you forth with my eyes to guide you. That's your shepherd. Amen. That's your shepherd. That is your present shepherd. Amen. So the Lord Yahweh is my present help. And because of that, I shall not want and I shall not lack. So present help, right now help. Jeremiah 33 says, call to me and I'll answer you. So not want or to lack nothing, again I say, is because God is our shepherd. Want comes from the Hebrew word kasher. C-H-A-C-E-R. And it means to lack. It means lessen, be abated, bereaved, decrease, cause to fail, have, lack, or make lower. I shall not want any of these things because the Lord is my shepherd. So the best translation from the Hebrew word that I found of want is I shall not lack nothing, or I shall not lack no good thing. God takes care of his kids. Amen. So David says, because God is my shepherd, I will not want, I will not lack anything. I will not decrease. I will not become bereaved. God will not fail me as the good shepherd. God will uphold me and keep from diminishing me to a lowly state. And we can say that same thing today. We can come into agreement with what David says. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not lack. I shall not be bereaved. Amen. He will not fail me. Psalms 37:2, David said, I've been young. Now I've been old. I've gone through some things. Amen. And because of this, he said, I've not seen the righteous forsaken. Amen. He said, I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. And like Pastor Laverne said, we don't have to beg, plead, or try to borrow from God. All he's asking us is to believe. David is proclaiming his faith in God as his personal shepherd. And you know, that's what God wants from all of us, is just a personal relationship with us. That's what he's seeking. We can't have a relationship to God through anybody else. But he is our shepherd, a personal relationship. To provide all of his needs he could ever want, because he trusts in God and he knows that God has never failed him. So we can, along with David, can agree with that. Hebrews 13:5-6 says, I will never in any circumstance desert you, nor give you up or leave you without support. Nor will I in any degree leave you helpless. Nor will I forsake you or let you down. I won't relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. So take comfort and be encouraged and confidently say, the Lord is my helper. In time of need, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Praise the Lord. So he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now that word maketh, when you read that, sometimes our human nature wants to rise up and say, nobody's going to make me do anything. So when we look like that, we feel like it's a forceful word. It says, I'm going to make you do something. So when I begin to look at that word make, it refers back to the word makes, meaning cause something to exist or come about or bring about. So when you begin to look at the word maketh in that sense, it's like, woohoo, something's getting ready to happen. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. One of the characteristics of sheep is that they are very restless animals. And they will look for unsafe places to rest. So it would be the shepherd's responsibility to make or to provide a place for them to rest. But when you begin to look at make us lie down in green pastures, he prepares us a place. He makes us a place. He brings us into that place of rest. Whew. Takes on a whole different meaning then, don't it? He maketh me. He prepareth a place for me. He brings me into that place of rest. So the shepherd would have to gather them in at night so they would not wander off. So they would be scattered out feeding during the day. And then, you know, the calm voice of that shepherd calling the sheep. And there could be a whole bunch of shepherds out in the field with their own particular flock of sheep. But that particular flock of sheep, of every sheepfold, would know the voice of their shepherd. So when he would call them in tonight so they wouldn't wander into the sheepfold, that calm voice of the shepherd prepared a place for them to rest. So when you're facing something in life and you don't know what to do and there's darkness, just listen to the calm voice of your Lord, of your shepherd. Let him prepare that place for you to rest. So when we read that, it makes it not like he is putting a yoke around us. Our necks to make us rest, because his yoke, the Bible says, is easy. His yoke is light. Amen. Because he does not make us or force us into anything, because he is a good, good father. He is a good, good shepherd. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who are weary, burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, humble in heart. You'll find rest, that place that he has prepared. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Amplified Bible reads it, come to me, all who are weary and heavily burdened by religious rituals that provide no peace. Religion wants to try to make you do things that God has already freed you from. Amen. He says, and I will give you rest, refreshing for your souls with salvation. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me as followers, following me as my disciple. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest, renewal, blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear and my burden is light. If you ever feel pressured, it's not God. If you ever feel overwhelmed and trying to make decisions, overwhelmed, it's not God. Because that's not His yoke. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. So when you are restless, you are not at rest. And religion will make you restless because you're constantly trying to strive for being something that you already are. So Hebrews 4:9 says, therefore there remaineth, there is a rest for the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also ceased from his warm works as God did from his. Praise the Lord. We don't have to work for our healing. We just have to believe. We don't have to work for our peace. We just have to believe. Amen. The most restless Christians are those who have not received the revelation of grace. Because once you receive that revelation of grace, like Pastor said, it gives you a power to live. And the more you begin to learn about it and receive the revelation, the more power you find out that you have in your life. And the more that you can enjoy being a Christian. Amen? Because it gives you power to overcome. I will provide. So when you are constantly working for something that has already been given to you, that's not rest. That is restlessness. So he says, I will provide a place for you to lie down in green pastures. Now, lie means to remain or be kept in a specified state. When you are lying down, remaining calm, you are resting. Psalms 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. That's that place of rest that God has already prepared for. He maketh me to lie down. Amen. That's that place of rest that he has called you to. Hebrew word for abide means to sit down, to dwell. That sounds like resting. He said, I've seated you in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I don't have to strive to be seated there or try to do something to be seated there. He says that you have been seated together with him in heavenly places. So everything that's not of God is already under my feet. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will remain secure and rest in the shadow of the Almighty. That's another translation of it. Whose power no enemy can withstand. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God in whom I trust with great confidence on whom I rely. He maketh me to lie down. He maketh me. He prepares a table before me. Our shepherd provides a place for us to rest in green pastures. Green pastures. Green. I looked up that word. I got to thinking about the color of the word green, of the color of green. Green is the color of nature. It symbolizes growth. It symbolizes harmony. It symbolizes freshness. And it symbolizes fertility. There are some things that the Word of God is wanting to birth in us. We're full of the Word of God. But we never get quiet long enough and rest long enough for those things to be birthed in our lives. Because we're trying to birth things in our own timing and in our own way. Amen. He maketh me to lie down in that place of rest and just to remain in that place of rest so I can birth some things that he has placed inside of me. So it means growth, harmony, freshness, and fertility. In that place that he maketh you to lie down, that he has prepared, it's a place where you can be refreshed and renewed. Greed has a strong emotional correspondence with safety. It has great healing power. It's the most restful color for the human eye, according to study. Praise God. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He prepares a place for me to rest, where I can be refreshed. Where I can see clearly again. Where I can hear clearly again. Abiding under the shadow, my goodness, of the Almighty. Whew. Hallelujah. So back when David was shepherd and he was a shepherd, there were very few green pastures in the land of Israel. The phrase makes us think, we think of green pastures, we think of the farms, lands in Kentucky, where there's green fields, rolling green fields after field. It wasn't that way in Israel. So they constantly had to move their sheep along the way to find green pastures. They had to strive. They had to strive at that place where they were going to be fed. They had to continue to look for that spot of just that clump of green grass to feed their sheep. So, you know, God has said, hey, you don't have to struggle to find rest for your souls. You don't have to struggle to find that place where you can be fed. All you've got to do is just calm down and rest in me. Maketh me to lie down in green pastures. So in Israel, most of the pastures on the hillsides and the grass which fed the sheep usually consist of just clumps of green grass here and there. This tells us something about what must have been in the mind of David when he wrote the 23rd Psalms. And he began to say, my sheep that I'm trying to feed is not like the shepherd that takes care of me. I don't have to search for what he's already provided for me. All I've got to do is receive it and believe it, that it's already been done. Psalms 23, he says that if the Lord is our shepherd, he will provide for us in ways that that natural resources, in ways that this temporal life cannot provide. Because God is a supernatural God, and he doesn't operate with our natural senses. And once we get out of that, into that realm where it's at, and we find that in that place of rest. So there may not be any green pastures anywhere to be found with the natural eyes. I believe I will see the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. So when you're in the flock of the Lord, he will spiritually provide a way for you to lie down in green pastures. He will provide things impossible, naturally speaking, because we serve the God, a God, not the God, not a God, we serve God. You know, it's not the Holy Spirit, it's Holy Spirit. Because when I address you, I don't say the Pastor Jerry. I don't say the Cole. I just pronounce them by their first name. So it's like it's not the God or the Holy Spirit. It's simply Holy Spirit and simply God. Because I was thinking, you know, when I say the God, it means I'm acknowledging there's other gods out there, but I know the one God. Amen. As a rabbit, Pastor. He will provide things impossibly naturally speaking. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Isaiah 43:19 says, I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Greener pasture, any place, greener pasture has a definition. And it means any place or condition that is more favorable or beneficial. Greener pastures is any place or condition that is more favorable or beneficial. The Lord Yahweh, we're going to close it now. The Lord Yahweh is my personal help, my present help. I shall not want, I shall not lack. He maketh, he provideth a place for me to lie down, to rest, to refresh, to renew. A place of rest, a safe place, a place of safety. pastures, laid down in pastures, to be fed, to be restored. To be restored, amen. To be restored. That's part two. Word by word, taking the 23rd Psalms and applying it to our life today. So many great truths in there, amen, that we can take that and read it every day. And that word maketh just like, wow, wow, a place maketh, a place that has already been provided. He maketh. He brings me to that place that he's already provided. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for being our shepherd, God. Thank you that we know your voice, that when we hear your voice in the midst of chaos and the chatter that's all around you, we just stop and hear your voice, and the voice of our shepherd brings calmness to our soul. Thank you, Lord, for that place of rest that we have found in you, that we don't have to strive anymore. We're just resting in you, that you have seated us in the heavenly places with Jesus Christ, that all things that are contrary to you are under our feet. And we put our trust in you, Lord. We believe that you're the God of more than enough, and that we're being fed in green pastures. We don't have to go looking for it, but it's here, found in your word. Thank you, Father, for this time that we've had for you today, for the fellowship around your table today, that we've been strengthened, we've been encouraged to go out and make disciples of all those that we come in contact with, bringing them the good news that Jesus is their shepherd. Lord, I just thank you for the people that have come today, those that are listening. I speak your blessing on them, that they're highly favored of God, that the blessings of the Lord are willing to overtake them, that they are blessed more than enough to be a blessing to everyone that they meet, and everything that their hands touch finds favor. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen.